So, have either of you ever wondered what Rogue would look like as a man?
Well, we know now.
We
Well, I
do.
say pretty often when I was younger, but not something I usually admit in public.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Well, we just need to clone her like we did Wolverine, and then we'll end up with, like, I don't know, like R23.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Man Rogue who, like, wonders if it has a soul and steals people's man faces and.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's their tack with the Marvel Now thing. With the we have the cover for Uncanny Avengers number one, and man, she could pass for a dude. And that's never been something that you would think of Rogue being able to do.
Yeah, she really. I thought it was Quicksilver at first because I just looked at the faces and it.
Well,
I
here's the
don't.
thing. She's back to back with Scarlet Witch. She's wearing all green with white accent. She has the white hair coming out of the hood. Your first thought naturally is going to be Quicksilver.
Yeah, which would also make more sense for the Avengers anyway. Do you notice on that cover that Cap also has, like, his boots from the movie, too? Yes, yeah. The Thor, I think, is the real offender because it's very clear they want him to look like Chris Hemsworth now, which. Yeah, and Scarlet Witch looks a little bit like Black Widow.
Yeah.
Isn't she supposed to have a cape?
Yeah. And doesn't she wear like a skirt? Or
Oh,
no, it's a one
what?
piece.
Yeah, it's a one piece,
Yeah,
but
small
it's the
one.
flowy cape that generally kind of also goes around her waist to look like a skirt.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just the art, but it looks like Cap has a grimace on his face.
Well, he's standing next to Wolverine, and I bet he does not smell very good. It's just terrible. The whole Marvel Now proposition is ridiculous anyway. I mean, Did they even say anything about that?
I haven't heard
About.
anything since the announcement.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting. I mean, this is when they're supposed to talk about it, not announce Deadpool games. Well, I So what did heard they do? They announced a Deadpool game.
it. And I'm very thankful that they did. That's
Yeah,
I we could spend too much time talking about the Deadpool game, but have you guys seen the trailer?
a couple
Yes.
times.
I love it. I love that they brought in the arguing thought boxes, the quips, the acrobatic combat.
I love that people are complaining about Nolan North.
I think he'll do a great job.
Oh, have you seen Hulk versus Wolverine?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he already did Deadpool there. It was hilarious.
He
Let's
can do quippy very well. That's his sort of his MO.
be honest here. This is Nolan North. He can do anything.
That's true.
I mean, he's in probably plays, 5 or 10 different roles in every video game we've ever played, but we just don't know it because he's that good.
I heard apparently his regular speaking voice is his Nathan Drake voice.
Well, I guess that would work out for him at the bars.
Especially during Comic-Con. Man.
Yeah.
I just the whole Marvel Now, I read a pretty long interview about the whole their entire concept and idea, and it's really the new 52. That's Yeah.
all it is. They just realized DC made a ton of money, and so they're going to try to do the same thing. So it's not even remotely original.
No, but I mean, in a business sense, they see another successful business idea, so they copy it and they'll make money off of it.
Oh, for sure.
From a creative standpoint, yeah, it's kind of not that great.
I just get really. Same thing, I haven't even seen Amazing Spider-Man yet, just because I have a really hard time getting excited to reread the same origins and stories and meetings that I've read 1,000 times already. Well, hey, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, when you were dead, but they change up Spider-Man's origin enough that it seems a little bit fresh, but it is still also very familiar.
Right, and
So.
sometimes I don't mind, but
I don't know. I just think that Marvel, they've done the Ultimates. They seem to have done a lot of reboots over the years, like so many at this point, that it's strange to have yet another one.
Well, especially, I mean, is this reboot going to reboot Spider-Man again? Maybe it'll reboot his marriage. You know that story, Brand New Day? Yeah, we're throwing it out. We're rebooting it.
That might be the entire reason, is just to be able to get rid of that.
Yeah, just be like, Spider-Man and Mary Jane were meant to be together. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, and I assume that this whole Marvel Now run is going to be taking place in a different universe.
Who even knows at this point? I mean, like, there's nothing up about it. Like, nobody has anything about it. None of
not
the
even
standard...
sure Marvel knows.
Yeah, I mean, weren't we supposed to actually hear something about this? And then the whole, like, Marvel War thing or whatever it is that they've been pushing over the last week with the various pictures, like, of Mjolnir, you know, crumbling and the Iron Man suit with bullet holes in it. Like, aren't we supposed to hear about that, too? Like, did they just go, well, you know, Comic-Con really isn't about comics anymore. It's about everything else, so screw it?
It does seem that way, though. I mean, the most exciting stuff I've seen out of Comic-Con were, like, the Breaking Bad panel. But why the hell was that at Comic-Con?
Yeah, why isn't there a TV con?
Yeah, Dexter did
like a cable
their,
con.
Yeah, we got to see the first few seasons of, or first units of the next season of Dexter, and they did some announcements about that stuff, but nothing.
Firefly Fast Reunion.
Yeah, exactly that documentary they're doing. So nothing that I've been excited for at Comic-Con this year is related to comics outside the Deadpool game.
About the Superman one sheet teaser? Like, did you see the Superman poster?
I did.
Did you read the any of the analyses of the footage they showed?
I read one on Ain't It Cool. I don't care.
It's not shaping up to be something that I'd be interested in a Superman movie.
Are you really surprised?
No.
Like, I mean, this movie, even though it has a Nolan on board and Zack Snyder, who's fairly talented, if hit or miss, it's just they rushed this movie out because they wanted to hold on to the Superman license. I mean, that's exactly what they did. They had to get it out there, so they did it, so they could renegotiate terms on the contract. Could you imagine if Superman had gotten away from Warner Brothers?
Well, they sure as hell haven't been able to do anything with it, so...
Yeah, but I mean, if it got away from Warner Brothers, technically it gets away from DC.
True.
That I didn't... Oh, you're right.
I don't know how that would work. Would the rights revert to DC under Warner Brothers, or...
Well, I think the rights would have reverted to the family of the creators.
Mm.
You know, and then they could have gone wherever they wanted. Hell, they could have been like, hey, Marvel, want Superman?
That would be a very strange situation.
Yeah, can you just imagine that? All of a sudden, the Avengers are all like, so who's this guy that looks a lot like the Sentry but isn't schizophrenic?
Yeah.
And he would yellow and blue together?
Can you imagine how great that movie would be, though? Like, they would be able to... Marvel would make a good Superman film.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They know what the hell they're doing, so it...
You know what they'd probably do? They'd hand it over to Pixar, and Pixar would be like, we've wanted to do this forever. So... God, I'd love to see, like, Pixar do, you know, a solid PG-13 or R-rated Batman movie. I mean, it would absolutely never, ever happen. Because, you know, Pixar doing anything above G would just, like, people would freak out. But that'd just be so cool.
It really would be.
Yeah, I just pre-ordered, ordered our tickets to see Dark Knight Rises in IMAX.
Nice. They're giving out special posters, I think, for the midnight showings.
Yeah, we're not going to a midnight because Misty's doing a... like weekend class thingy up in Milwaukee doing brain dissection stuff. Yeah.
Hmm.
They found some brains. Let's see, they found brains to dissect in Milwaukee. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm sure some people up there could get by without them.
That's very true.
So we're not going until the following Monday.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not really too bummed about that, to be honest. I'm still a little on the fence with Dark Knight Rises.
I am too, oddly enough, and I don't know why.
Well, it's the anticipation of it not living up to Dark Knight. And not closing off the series in a completely satisfactory way.
Yeah. Oh, it's got Mass Effect syndrome written all over it.
Yeah.
God damn it. We got to stop talking about that. Even in passing. This is terrible.
Yeah, I've got to add it to the list of things we talked about now. Mass Effect syndrome.
All right. This is terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
You know what's fantastic, though?
What? That it fluidly fits into everything we talk about?
It's a perfect segue.
Yeah.
The Marvel Universe Phase 1 Blu-ray set. Pre-ordered that today.
Yeah. I showed it to Misty, and she really likes it, and she said if she gets it, she's like, if we get divorced, it's coming with me. And I was like, no question. It's yours. You paid for it.
Oh, well, fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she also wants the cats, too.
Ah.
How many cats do you have?
3, but it would be very sad. I love them all.
Yeah, I mean, you guys should split the cats.
No, we can't split them up, man. They got, like, this, you know, they have this cool little family dynamic going on. Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
We've had that conversation about our games. Who would get which game?
You should fight for all the Halo games just to be that guy.
I'd fight for ODST. I don't know if I'd have it in me for the rest of them.
Oh, I would just to be that guy. And then I would, like, you know, sit them up in, like, a shelf and never play them.
Yeah.
Ever. Actually, I would buy new ones to play instead of those ones.
Or to send pictures of each disc snapped in half.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just assuming that we have there's like a really negative divorce here, you know.
Well, true. Yeah. But then again, if you're fighting to keep a game that you don't want that the other person does, then it's already in a negative place.
Yeah, I guess so.
So anyway,
yeah,
that looks like such a fantastic set, and the artwork that they've done for the Blu-rays. Mm-hmm. I just love that. I want posters of that.
That's what I want. I looking at those posters now close, or the DVD sleeves up close. I want them to hang on my wall. I already own all the movies on Blu-ray, so
I don't own any of them on Blu-ray. So I'm getting a full fresh purchase. Everything is going to be new for me.
I was going to say it's going to be a real hard sell for me to pull out $200 on stuff I already own. But
oh, it's cheaper than that on Amazon now.
Yeah, for $140.
Yeah, we have all but Iron Man 1 on Blu-ray, so. Man, and like, looking at the difference between the Blu-ray and the DVD translation, it's just, it's night and day, man. It really is.
Absolutely.
They did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Even more to look forward then to.
I love that Iron Man movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, apparently Cheadle and Robert Downey Jr. are only contracted through Iron Man 3.
If they do go farther, I don't see Robert Downey Jr. choosing not to. He's getting so much goodwill and appreciation out of that role that, you know, who did you see any of the recent Futurama episodes?
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I missed, like, all of last season.
Okay. I won't spoil anything then.
There's it's all on Netflix, so I could probably get caught up in like 3 days, but
there's a relevant actor episode, episode 4 or episode 5 of this season.
Hmm. But, well, they're all on my DVR, this current season. That and Ghost Adventures. Shut up. That show is great. You ever watch that show?
No, I have taste.
Oh, Misty won't like you.
I don't care about the ghost shows. I know a lot of it, you know, floats some people's boats, and that's cool, but I just don't care.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of people walking around in a basement pretending they felt a chill on their shoulder?
Yeah, I think it depends on the crew. Oh, I just like the Ghost Ventures guys because they're kind of it's kind of the best way to explain it, and it's still kind of insulting to them to say it like this, but it's kind of like the Jersey Shore of ghost shows.
Because like I don't see how that could be kind of insulting to them.
Because the main host is kind of he's like one of those dude bro kind of guys. You know, and it's just like, dude, bro, you know, the whole time. And then, like, they have the equipment guy who's the best guy on the show because his reactions are absolutely hilarious whenever something happens. Because, like, he'll be walking around and, like, something will, like, bump or, you know, scratch. And then he'll instantly turn the camera around and his shocked face is on. And it's amazing.
So he turns the camera on himself?
Yeah.
Blair Witch style?
Yeah, a little Blair Witch style.
Is it even angled up towards his face?
No, it's actually on par with his face because, okay. You know, he actually understands cinematography. God, I hate that movie.
I think I watched it when it came out, and I haven't bothered watching it again.
Yeah, I watched it when it came out, too, with my dad, and we both stepped out of the theater, and we just looked at it, and we were like, what the hell did we just sit through? Who said this movie was good? You know, it's like, who can we direct our rage at? So, you know what? But the good thing is that nobody from that movie went on to do anything of note afterwards.
Yeah, not that I know of.
Yeah, the girl did like 2 episodes of The Outer Limits.
Well, and Always Sunny in Philadelphia was, there's a guest appearance there.
Oh.
I believe. Yeah. Trying to think back, maybe I'm confusing it, but yeah. But you're right, there's nothing notable if we have to think this hard.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I did watch a couple episodes of Always Sunny. It's kind of funny.
We've watched the first few episodes.
If you like sociopathic humor, yeah, but it isn't anything, doesn't make you feel good.
You know what? That's totally fine. I mean, Danny DeVito's in it, and he never makes us feel good about his humor.
And he's been funny. We just started watching it just because we like Charlie Day. And it's okay. It's not exactly what I was expecting.
Is that the guy who was in Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of funny.
Yeah. He's a little spastic personality that fits for his stature.
Yeah. Why are short people always so spastic? Sorry, short people, but us tall folk are curious.
I could ask my wife, but I don't think she'd appreciate it.
I'll ask her, Lindsay, why are short people spastic? Oh, yeah, she'd get mad. You know what? Whatever. We're separated by like 2/3 of a continent. I think I'm safe, especially considering it would probably take her about triple the time to drive here as it would the average American driver.
True. If we ever do meet, however, she holds grudges.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I'm prepared. I have 3 sisters, man. Ah. Trust me, I am prepared.
Well, that's cool.
You know, I mean, hell, I one of my sisters is holding a grudge. I don't even know what it's for. She's held it for almost 20 years at this point. Like, seriously? You were 7. You know, like, I don't even remember when I, you know, whatever it was that I supposedly did. And you know what? I bet you I didn't even do it. I bet it was somebody else. Or I bet she's just making it up because she just wants an excuse not to like me because she's my sister and she's mean that way.
Oh.
Hmm.
God, I have to go to our wedding in November.
Oh, is that the one that you're hoping is the end of the streak for a while?
I was thinking when I got home last night from Misty's friend's wedding, I was like, one more this year and then like I'm done for a while. And then I instantly remembered to have another wedding in March. As soon as I said that, I was like, damn it. That one's in California, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Orange County.
Mm.
At the Nixon Library.
We've got family down there.
That's an exciting place to have a wedding.
It looks really cool, actually, if you look it up on Google.
Well, I'm sure it is, and I love history. I would probably love going there. It's not about having a wedding.
No, whatever. They're from California. They're weird.
Yeah, it's true.
No offense, man, but it's the truth.
No, it's cool. I'm from Oklahoma. I just live in California.
Oh, so that would explain why Lindsay's all sorts of weird.
Yeah.
Okay. You're cool. I thought you were like the outlier for a moment.
No, I'm foreign to this land.
You know what? I am too. I'm foreign to the land I currently live in as well, but you know what? It's kind of homey here. I think I'll stay for a while.
So you could have picked worse places.
Yeah, the Midwest is just full of such nice people.
Yeah, depending on where in the Midwest you are.
Well, and the Illinois-Wisconsin area is just full of really nice people.
It is.
You know, it's not like, you know, the best way to explain it is it's kind of like the Denmark of America. Because Denmark is just full of just amazingly nice people.
And
like,
I'm
sure there's jerks over there. I mean, there's jerks everywhere. But you know what? Denmark is great. If you have a chance, go.
I like that comparison.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, especially like the Racine Kenosha area because, well, they have such a high Danish population. Like, Misty and I were joking one day, and I said that if, you know, the sea levels rise up too far and all the Scandinavian countries go underwater, you know that, like, the whole Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, Minnesota is just going to get annexed as New Scandinavia because they have just such high Norwegian, Swedish, and Danish populations. I, for one, welcome the renaming of Milwaukee as New Copenhagen.
I think that could be a vast improvement over what's there now.
Oh, absolutely. Just get more Danes in here. It's just amazing. You know. So now we're
a geography podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. So what were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
Well, it wasn't Mass Effect 3 for once, so it's...
No, we transitioned from that into the Marvel Blu-ray set.
Yeah.
And we transitioned from that...
Into Californians are weird.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I ordered Max Anarchy. Just waiting on it to ship.
Got what?
Anarchy Reigns.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're getting the import one, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when you're going to get it?
I chose the 1 to 3 day FedEx shipping, but that's once it ships. They said it ships... Should be ready to ship by the 19th.
Okay.
So hopefully by the weekend or maybe the beginning of the following week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And then we ended up pre-ordering the Street Fighter 25th anniversary and the limited edition of Assassin's Creed 3 and the Vault Hunters edition of Borderlands 2.
Hmm.
So we've got a lot coming up in the next week to few months.
I think the Vault Hunter is... That's the only collector's edition that I'm really excited for right now. Because I'm kind of getting away from filling my apartment with more crap I don't need. But that Vault Hunter is amazing.
Well, see, I think need is a relative term. I mean, do we really need anything? But we do. We really need that Connor statue and that Ryu statue and that Cosmic Cube...
and that
bobblehead and the flag.
You know, sometimes I think yes. Like I needed those Fallout collector's editions because, yeah, I just did.
There you go.
I don't have to explain myself.
No, that's it. It's justified.
I pre-ordered the Mists of Pandaria expansion pack.
That limited box edition that looks like a giant book.
No, because they haven't announced that yet.
Mm.
So I just threw $5 down at GameStop the other day when I was bored.
Yeah, I did too. And I go in there enough that they know me and the manager will upgrade me to the collectors once it's announced because got to have that.
Well, as I will likely be doing nothing that day, whenever they get around to announcing it, I will just walk up there and just upgrade myself. Maybe put another $5 down on it.
Maybe.
Yeah, it'll only be, what, $100 again?
No, they were like 60, 70, or no, they were like 70, 80 bucks.
I thought they were 80 last time. They were 80.
Yeah, they were 80 last time. It's Diablo that's like $90 to $100 for some stupid reason. I blame Activision.
That's pretty much a safe bet for most things in the world. I just blame Activision for almost anything.
Yeah. Oh, man, the new Medal of Honor game isn't going to be that great. Damn Activision.
You know what? It is their fault indirectly. Because, you know, they have influence over the market. And so people are trying to copy what they're doing since they've been so successful. So, yes, it's absolutely their fault. Sons of bitches.
Those jerks. I don't know. Oh, did you guys hear that rumor that the next Batman Arkham game might be a prequel?
Silver Age?
Yeah. A Silver Age prequel with Justice Leaguers in it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what that says to me if it's true? It says that we will finally have the end of the debate between Chris and myself about who would win in a fight between Batman and Superman.
That's a retarded debate, though. No offense to any retarded people who are listening. Superman would shoot Batman with eye lasers from outer space or throw an asteroid on Earth. If it comes down to one of them having to kill the other one, it's a non-issue.
So what you're telling me is that Batman would nuke the hemisphere from orbit, or I mean Superman would nuke the hemisphere from orbit because it's the only way to be sure?
Here's the thing. If he's in a mode where he's willing to kill Batman, then obviously he's gone outside of his moral code. So, fuck, he's Superman. He'll do whatever the hell he wants. But like I said, there are if Superman is retaining his moral code and Batman is retaining his moral code, that's where the difficulty lies. If Batman doesn't give a shit about what happens to Superman, but Superman is still being good Superman, then yeah, I can see Batman taking advantage of that and winning.
Well, Batman has beaten Superman how many times
every
now?
Every time.
Yeah, he's beaten him a few times.
Because Superman does not go outside of the
morals
code of killing.
Well, even when Superman doesn't have his like quote-unquote morals, he still loses. And here's the main reason why. Because Superman, regardless of how intelligent people portray him, he's not a tactical thinker. You know, it's just like Batman, I'm convinced that Batman legitimately does have a superpower, and that's battlefield control. Because he knows everything that's going on around him in a fight. You know, no one sucker punches Batman.
Hal Jordan.
Okay, except for Hal Jordan, but I still think he jobbed that one.
We're going to pretend that didn't happen.
No, that happened.
Batman let him happen. And I revel in it. Batman let him have it.
No. You know?
At that point, Batman still hated Hal for the parallax thing. He wouldn't have let him have anything that put Hal a step above Batman. Hal Jordan knocked Batman on his ass with one punch. Batman was Danzig right there.
I get just furious whenever that comes up.
I love it.
Yeah, but you know what? That didn't happen now in the New 52, so Batman hasn't been sucker punched. Well, actually, we don't know if that has or has not happened in the New 52. But, you know, with
well,
the
if
upcoming...
we assume that Hal Jordan hasn't become Parallax.
Right. Well, we don't even really know, especially now with the whole like Third Army thing coming up.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know if Sinestro and Hal Jordan are even going to make it through the year. Because they aren't. Because the whole Third Army arc that's coming up, the big Lantern event that's going to span all of the Lantern books, including the Red Lanterns. We just don't know. I mean, Hal Jordan and Sinestro are nowhere on that big four-part cover.
To be fair, they are two of the biggest characters in the Lantern range. Maybe they're being held back for some late reveal.
Maybe, but I mean, the Guardians are also in the last year's worth of comics have shown that they're totally okay just killing people. Like they killed one of the C-list or Green Lantern villains because he didn't have any information for them on where to find Sinestro.
Huh.
Like without even batting an eye, they're just like, "Yep, dead." So
that's how it should be. And stop bringing people back. That's the. I would like to see comics get darker and just bring in more people so they can murder them off. though.
What, like the Ultimate Universe, where they just like kill people with impunity?
Yep.
Like Wasp, who got eaten by the blob, and you know Peter Parker, who got shot on the bridge or whatever it was, and.
Oh, is that how they got rid of him?
I think so. I don't remember. I didn't read it. I just read the aftermath. Like, Miles Morales is great.
I wonder if he got shot as Spider-Man or just like as some random victim.
He was, I believe it was in a battle with Norman Osborn. And he was dressed as Spider-Man. But, you know, so he died as Spider-Man. And everybody was very sad. Except for probably J. Jonah Jameson, who's all like, I win. Because he's a jerk like that. And
he's
a
classy guy.
Yeah.
God, I still think that... I keep forgetting the name of the actor that did him in the...
J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Yep.
I love J.K. Simmons.
He also...
He did a great J. Jonah, and he was fantastic as Cave Johnson.
Oh, yeah. He also played Aang's son in Legend of Korra. You have no clue what I'm talking about, do you?
I've seen it on my Netflix, I believe. That's come up, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, the follow-up to Avatar The Last Airbender. Not the bad movie, but the good cartoon.
I never watched the cartoon. Was it any good?
Oh, dude, it's amazing.
Hmm.
I thought the movie was pretty good. I don't know why everyone hated on it.
Because you didn't watch the cartoon.
I'm kidding.
And you obviously have no soul.
No, I never watched the cartoon, but I know terrible acting when I see it, and that movie was just painful.
Oh, dude, the cartoon's absolutely amazing. It's this, you know, great. We're kind of in a second renaissance for children's cartoons, where they are, you know, kiddie and easy for them to pick up and understand, but also have these very deep and complex narratives that they take the time to build. Like, I mean, Avatar, it starts out with like kind of like this very simple concept of little kid with great destiny must save the world. And over the course of three seasons, as he moves towards becoming that person, it's just the character growth is absolutely amazing. Like, you should watch it. Like some of it is just complete tongue-in-cheek silliness, and like there's a recurring theme of this guy who runs a cabbage stand, and at least two or three times a season it gets destroyed by the main characters in various cities. And like he even like in the second season he's even running away from like where the war is. He's all like, it's just my cabbage stand, and then like it gets destroyed. And he's like, my cabbages. You know, it's just the recurring jokes are amazing, and they have a couple one-off characters that are just surprisingly memorable.
So the cabbage guy is kind of like the Aragog of the Airbender world.
Sure. And they even have, in Legend of Korra, the follow-up, they even have a follow-up of that, like a next generation of that joke as well. And it's just like J.K. Simmons of does one of the voices. Steve Bloom voices the main villain, and you know he's like kind of in everything, you know. But unlike Nolan North, it's like you can spot him in everything he's in because he always kind of sounds the same, you know. No offense to Steve Bloom, he's still great, but he's very easily recognizable. He also does an amazing Starscream in Transformers Prime. The first thing he does in that show is kill The Rock. Because The Rock plays Cliff Jumper for a single episode. Not even a full episode. He's in it for like 10 minutes.
And then he gets killed.
What does that tell you about The Rock's career?
That he's perfectly cool doing a cameo appearance for a kid's show.
Kind of makes him awesome.
Yeah, it does kind of make him awesome, especially following the crap, you know, that was the Tooth Fairy.
He's been really focusing on that kid-friendly stuff. He did The Rundown and Walking Tall.
Oh, no, Walk the Line was that
Johnny Cash.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was a great movie. But, I mean, the two that The Rock did... those action movies, they were pretty good. And they're dumb action movies, and he did a good job at filling the action part of it. Then he went into this stretch of kid stuff.
He did the Scorpion King, too. He was the Scorpion King.
Yeah. I didn't actually see that. That looked really bad.
That's because it was really bad.
But you know what's hilarious? I was watching the newest Conan movie today again. Just, I don't know. I felt like torturing myself. And that, you know, movies like The Scorpion King were so far and above this freaking Conan junk that they put out now. And it's really depressing that that's what I'm pining for in my fantasy films.
Here's the question, though. If they had gotten Jason Momoa to do like a Khal Drogo not speaking in English thing, how much better would that movie have been?
So much better. Oh, no one could speak English because Rose McGowan's part was embarrassing. I mean, like, oh, God.
See, yeah, that would have been cool to do the whole thing as a subtitled movie because of a fictional language.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, you know, Jason Momoa is Khal Drogo in that season of Game of Thrones. I mean, he's absolutely amazing in that. Yeah. Because he's not speaking English. His English acting is terrible. And I'm sad to say it, but that is his first language.
And he's an intimidating-looking guy. He's, you know, if he just sits there and growls, fantastic.
Yeah, like, if you, like, watching the original Conan the Barbarian, I'm fairly certain that Arnold Schwarzenegger says less than 300 words through the entire two-hour film.
Very possible. You know,
I can never actually watch that seriously again without giggling, just because of the modified GIF online when he's on the beach practicing with his dual swords. And there's this GIF online where the dual swords are replaced by glow sticks. So it looks like he's practicing for a rave. And so every time I try, because I've tried, like, since that GIF came out, I've tried once or twice to watch Conan, and I just lose it.
I mean, I still love that movie.
I do too, and I watched the sequel the other day as well. Not a bad movie kick.
Destroyer, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
See, I'm on a good movie kick. Friday night, Misty has, I don't know how, but she'd never seen Alien before.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, so we watched it Friday night. You know, she loved it. We also watched this pretty decent German horror movie called Anatomy.
Oh, that's a great film. The girl from Ronald running it?
Yeah, exactly. I love that movie. I remember watching it in college a few years ago, and I found it on Netflix. And I was like, Misty, I think I'm going to get this. You're going to love it because you love movies with secret societies and murder, and especially stuff that deals with, like medical students, because for some reason they always end up involved in some secret society where they murder people. You know?
Does that ever make you a little bit worried when you're going to sleep at night? Like, you're sort of inviting disaster?
No, I actually feel pretty safe about things.
Okay.
I have like a sixth sense about that sort of stuff, so I have a feeling that if she's ever going to try and knife me in my sleep, I'm going to wake up right at the right time, so at least I'll be awake and see the face of my killer.
It's really all you can ask for.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So that way, like, I have that, like, burning mental image for when I'm a ghost and I can haunt her.
I'm glad that you planned this out.
We have strange conversations.
We've had. If Lindsay dies and I ever get remarried, she's going to haunt me. She's already made those provisions.
I heard her in the background there, too.
I'm sorry, is that untrue? What untrue? That if you die and I get remarried, that you're going to haunt me? That is not untrue. Thank you.
That's kind of a bitch move.
Yeah, it is.
like
seriously. Because if she died tomorrow, then, you know, I'd spend the next 70 like years alone. But then I tell her, you know, well, if I want to see you again, all I have to do is go shack up with someone, and then I get to see my dead wife. So you're not really giving me a downside here.
Because you know what? That's really a turn-on in those situations.
Oh, yeah. You could have a kind of semi-three-way of metaphysical and physical.
That's real romance. That is
so what you're telling romance. me is that Demi Moore did it wrong in Ghost.
Yeah, she could have had her cake and ate it, too.
Yeah, she should have gone and found another guy so that way she could have been with that person and Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
God, she's dumb.
Yeah, we're going to have to change topic before I get reamed.
You know what, we should really have titled this episode 36, in which we talk about everything but what we set out to talk about.
We touched on everything, except for World of Pokemon. We still haven't.
Well, it's because I can't figure that shit out right now, because it just went live either last night or the night before. And so, like, everybody is... the first thing you do is you go and you pay your 100 gold to get to training, right? And then the first quest is that way you can actually start really training your little Pokemons, is to go and get into a pet battle with somebody or one of the random creatures in the world. But everybody right now is just, like, just camping all these spawn points, and it sucks. So I flew around for 20 minutes while we were starting up the show, and I'm just, like, done. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be a fun system, especially because it's, you know, voluntary.
Right.
But for right now, I don't care.
Let me ask you something. You've been playing through the beta, and mm-hmm. you've been experiencing a lot of the story, a lot of the quests, a lot of the real content of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to enjoy playing through it again when you actually have your reset character, or your main character go through it?
Well, my main character is going to be going through for speed. So I really, like, getting this chance now, it's like I already know kind of the path I'm going to take. Mm. But my subsequent characters will be for fun.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, like, there's... I really do like the opportunity to go through and relive some of this stuff. And, I mean, a couple of these zones I haven't even really had a chance to really play around in. Because, you know, some of the quests were bugged, the quest givers weren't in the right place. So, you know, I didn't really get a chance to fully experience everything. And then even then, I still have only really even played with roughly about, you know, some of the zones only half, if not less, content that's already there. Hmm. You know, it's not like like the Cataclysm zones for the most part. It's like, especially the first ones, Vajir and Mount Hyjal, you have one storyline. That is it. You start at point A, you end at point B, and when you get to point B, you are of the appropriate level to move on to the next zone. It's kind of boring that way. But like the way they built all of the zones in Mists of Pandaria is that you get like there are a few different quests from each zone that lead into the next one. And the zones aren't broken up into just one storyline. They're broken up into many storylines. So it's like, you know, if you do two or three out of, let's say, five of the available storylines in that zone, you'll level up to where you need to be to get into the next one. But you can still come back later and do those other ones for fun. And each storyline has its own unique thing, and they're, you know, fun in their own way. Like the one I was telling you guys about a couple weeks ago, where you have like the old Karate Kid style training montages, you know, or the one where you're helping the guy along and he's like, oh crap, I have to go slow. I just took an arrow to the knee.
Huh, yeah.
You know.
Or that ingredient quest where it trolls you into thinking you're going to have to do it again, and then it says, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, I hated that original quest so much. And then at the end of that, when that just happened, I was like, oh, thank God. I don't think I could do that again. So, I mean, it's, you know, my second time through, when I level up my hunter and my shaman, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just tinkering around and taking my time and, you know. But, you know, the first time, it's like, our goal is to hopefully be raiding within 2 weeks of the expansion going live. I mean, there will be the people that will be raiding the next day.
Right.
Going for the world firsts. But we don't want world firsts. We just, you know, we're in a fairly uncompetitive server. We just want to have fun and hopefully be better than the other people on our uncompetitive server. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I just don't feel like Pokemon's going to offer me enough content down the line that I'm going to care.
Well, that's fine. That's, like, for you, that's what, like, challenge modes are for. You know, because they've split up all of the five-man dungeons now into essentially three difficulty tiers, normal, mm-hmm. heroic, and challenge mode. And normals are normals. They're easy. Heroics are slightly more difficult, all tuned around level 90, and award better gear. And then challenge modes are all tuned around level 90. They are significantly more difficult than heroics. And you don't get any actual like better loot rewards for it, but it's essentially a timed run. And if you complete it, you get medals based on how long it takes you, bronze, silver, and gold. And if you get all gold in all the challenge modes, you get a unique set of armor for transmog that is unique to your class. So, like, and these are some really cool-looking armor sets. So, and I mean, it's just, and then you also can look at people on your server and see who has the fastest times, too. So it's almost like kind of like this little, it's that extra level of competition if you want it. And the cool thing about it is, so that way as people move forward and forward in gear, they are going to normalize your gear level to, I think it's 463.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have, like, say, you know, item level 590-something, you will be normalized back down to item level 463. So no matter how good your gear is, everyone's playing on the same playing field.
That's kind of an impressive feat for a lot of MMOs. That's sort of the frustrating part about WoW in general, PvPing, is if you don't want to put in the time, like, you can never compete.
Yeah, well, they're one of the things they're trying to do with Mists of Pandaria is also lower the barrier of entry into PvP. So everybody will have a base level of resilience. So you won't have to, like, you know, spend a bunch of money and craft up the PvP set. You'll be able to have some level of resilience going in so you won't just, you know, be tissue paper in front of a bonfire. So I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's a nice little move right there.
I think so.
I remember my first PvP experience before any of the expansions came out, and I was a level 15 Dwarven Hunter, and this guy came up to me and challenged me. I was like, oh, screw it, why not? And then he starts bouncing around onto rooftops and around buildings really quickly, and I'm standing there, where the fuck did you just go? So he toyed with me and then handed my ass to me.
Yeah. Well, PvP then is significantly different than it is now. Like back then, there was PvP gear, but it wasn't very good for anything. Like the best PvP gear then was the best PvE gear. So it's like back in, like, you know, level 60 times back in the days of like Molten Core and Blackwing Lair, it was the guys in tier 1 and tier 2 who were just tearing stuff apart. You know, like, especially if they got, like, hunters used to just be, like, one-shot machines. Especially if they started getting some of the ridiculously powerful weapons. Like, they could literally walk up and be like, oh, warrior, dead. It was kind of fun, actually. You know, overpowered and terrible. I'll be the first to admit that. But it was awesome.
It's still kind of like that with hunters, though. Not gonna lie.
Well, it is, but there are so many different, I mean, as we've moved forward, you know, another 30 levels since then, everybody has a whole boatload of just new abilities, and, you know, their toolbox has just grown almost exponentially. I mean, you look at hunters, and like in Burning Crusade, I was like, the one thing hunters need to be really viable for PvP, especially in arenas, is a reverse charge. You know, and everyone's all like, you'll never get that, you'll never get that. And sure enough, in Wrath of the Lich King, we got
disengage, yeah.
Disengage became a reverse charge. And we would jump back 20 yards. And then, so we could basically immediately open up distance and then become viable again. You know, and then another thing that hunters have been crying out forever and ever about is that, you know, we have, there's a range at which we can do nothing. You know?
Melee, yeah.
Yeah. You can't, like, a hunter in melee is absolutely useless. But they got rid of that. So now hunters can do their full ranged attack from point blank range if they want to. But the trade off is they lose the melee weapon slot. So they no longer get all the bonus stats and stuff like that. But you know what? That's fine. Because now we can sit there in the thick of it if we have to, and still be able to hurt things.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they're doing a lot of really good work in this. And I mean, I know I allude to this every time we talk about Mists of Pandaria, but I really meant what I said in the review that I wrote for Cataclysm, that they are in an amazing position to make giant strides forward in making this a much better game. And they're doing it. You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
we're still limited by the fact that this is still old generation of MMO design. And there's no real end in sight to the current, you know, paradigm for MMOs. And nobody's really making any giant strides forward. I mean, you know, much as like Star Wars The Old Republic did a lot of really cool things, they ultimately still were, you know, building in the World of Warcraft design, you know, sandbox with the whole, like, you level and then you raid. You know, I'd like to see them do something more along the lines of just continuing to put forth more of that story content, because that story content is the strength of Star Wars The Old Republic. You just, but the problem is you get so far and it's done. You know, you can't redo it. It's done.
WoW needs to redo the voice acting too. That would have to change.
Whatever, man. Steve Bloom voices my troll, and my troll is great.
I can't even have the sound on for World of Warcraft that I'm playing because it's so cheesy and terrible. Like, the acting is just way too over the top, which is hilarious because Diablo is so good. You know, they really have a lot of great talent on there, and I think World of Warcraft would have a lot more legs if they made it story based in some regards and made it worth listening to and sitting through instead of just laughing at your semi-racist goblin and troll accents. Like, you know?
Yeah. But, no, you're right. They do need to do a little bit of work. But at the same time, I mean, the crappy voice acting now is kind of part of the game's charm. You know, but my main problem with all the voice acting is that Chris Metzen voices everybody.
Well, yeah,
I'm sick and tired of hearing that guy.
It's the same three people.
Yeah, and not just because, like, I don't think he's a good voice actor, but I don't think he's a good storyteller either. The guy screwed Diablo up.
I was going to say, I think Oblivion has more varied voice acting than World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, voice acting is very, is in a way, it's very limiting. Like, let's say that, you know, let's say there's a problem with, like, the quest, right? And the it's all voice-acted stuff, like Star Wars The Old Republic. And you have to do a quick change on the fly to a quest and move something from point A to point B. If you're going to do that with voice acting, you have to reanimate that character. You have to get the voice actor back in and re-record the line. But if you don't have the voice acting for it, aside from the stock stuff of when you click on people, I mean, then you just go and you change a few things around in a text file.
Which I understand. I get the limitations, but how did Star Wars manage to do it if freaking Blizzard can't manage it? That's my question. Is at this point we've seen it done and we know it can be done, and Blizzard has the time and the talent and the money to do whatever they want. So
yeah, well they do, but they also have to deliver a whole lot of content. Star Wars doesn't have that content. Star Wars, you know, when you break it down, it probably has, I would say, if you just look at the leveling content, and just looking at, just taking the original pre-Cataclysm world, they would probably still only maybe have, at best, one half of all of the content that World of Warcraft had available for each faction.
Yeah.
You know... You know, World of Warcraft has literally twice the amount of content, easy, just in the original game world. On top of having, before you even get into the faction split. And then each faction, especially back in those days, had their own separate flavor. Like, everything was kind of different for them. Like, the Horde quests were a little bit more brutal than the Alliance quests. The Alliance quests, especially because of people like the Gnomes, were a little bit more lighthearted and silly.
I just feel that... at this point they can change it up a little and maybe try to grow the game outside of content, but also within story. And it's a small quibble overall because I still love the game. But
yeah, well, Mr. Pandaria has a lot of story. Like as I was saying earlier, of having those individual quest lines throughout the zones instead of a zone having a singular quest line or a singular story, there are the multiple stories within each zone.
Right.
You know, like I think, and then they also added this one faction called the Lore Walkers, and throughout the entire continent are these lore items that you can click on that give you a part of a story. When you collect all of them, you can go to the Lore Walkers, and they give you like this little sequence, like a little in-game cinema that like compiles this whole story together. Like one of them is that there is a Tauren offshoot called the Yon'Gol, and when you get all of the Yon'Gol artifacts, they piece it together and they give it tells the story of how the Tauren on Pandaria became the Yon'Gol. So, you know, it's there. It's just, you know, it's not as overtly there as Star Wars, you know, but it's just. Like, that is the strength of World of Warcraft, is that if you are looking for something to do and you want something to do, it is there if you look for it. You know, if you want a raid, you look for a raid and you find it. If you want to be an RPer, you look for other RPers and you find them. If you want to be engrossed in the story, you look for the story and you find it. And it doesn't even take that much effort to find. Because most people, like, I mean, the bulk of the story of this game is conveyed through the quest text, and most people don't even read it.
That's true. I skip over 90% of it.
but, I mean, it's just, and not even just the quest text, but especially now, there's a lot of voice acting. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the character of Rathian, the sole surviving member of the Black Dragonflight that wasn't corrupted. You know, he's the guy who gave the quest for the legendary rogue daggers, which was apparently one of the coolest quest lines that has been out, you know, in a long time. Well, he's back up in, down in Pandaria, I should say, running his own little faction with a black market auction house. And he even has another legendary quest line ready to go. And it's pretty cool. And he's playing both sides, like a good chaotic neutral guy, you know. So it's like each quest is a little bit different depending on which side of the fence you're on. So like if you're part of the Horde, he's like, and I stand with the Horde 100%, and if you're Alliance, I stand with the Alliance 100%. And I'm just like, I know you don't actually stand with me, but whatever, you know. And it's just, you know, it's there, and they're doing a little bit better of a job of making it so you don't have to look as hard. Though you didn't really have to look very hard to begin with. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Like, I mean, I'm really excited for Mr. Pandaria. I was not excited for Cataclysm. I was like, ooh, New World, that could be pretty cool. But only 5 levels and like 6 zones? We're going to be really bored of this. Like the first couple weeks of that game, I'm looking at it and I'm just like sitting there. I'm talking with my friends because I took a very long break when Cataclysm came out. And I was like, look, guys, I'm sorry. This looks really cool and all that. But there is not enough content in this expansion. You know, and there really wasn't. Like they didn't really add any new zones or just anything like that. It was just, you know, we had the zones that were there. They added the Dark Moon Fair later, which was boring. They added the Molten Front, which was boring. And that was it. You know, I mean, it's just, this has content. This has the ability to add more content. Like, there's a whole part of this continent that we can't even get to yet and is still grayed out on the map. You know, like, I'm really looking, like, you know, I mean, it's just maybe I'm overhyping myself here, but they have stuff like they. You can tell that because they didn't spend all the time of their development cycle working on the content for the revamped 1-60 experience, that they actually have had the time to go into pre-production and actually plan out where this is going. So, Mm. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we should get Chris to play.
Maybe one day I'll jump back into it. If it's changed this much, then maybe I won't hit the wall I hit.
It has a lot. It's easier to level, and you have so many different ways of leveling how you want to that it makes a huge difference. But going through, you can either do dungeons and just do random stuff with people, or you know, there's just a lot of ways to handle it. Just quests. You don't have to deal with stupid people if you don't want to.
Yeah. It's and not even the Dungeon Finder 2 really streamlines things a lot.
Yep.
You know, especially because like the low level dungeons are so easy these days. You know, just because the amount of tools that players have available to them at lower levels are significantly better than what they had available in like the vanilla days. So like you just, you know, you can literally just chain dungeons all the way up to level 58 or really until you reach the level cap.
Yeah, you can do it to 85, which I did. I, with my healer, I just dungeoned up to 85. So,
yeah. It's just, it gets very boring if you just level up that way, especially like, because there are a couple, level ranges where the dungeon design isn't very good.
That's true.
I would say that the dungeon design kind of just drops off and is kind of bad. But it happens, you know. But then you hit like Burning Crusade period and things get a lot better. And then you hit Wrath of the Lich King and things get a little bit better than that. And then you hit Cataclysm and then things kind of stay the same.
I'll have to see if I can find my old account info and see if my character is still somewhere.
Well, they will force you to upgrade to a Battle.net account, and I highly recommend securing your account with a free Battle.net authenticator, which you can get on Android and iOS.
You're on Blizzard's payroll now? Or
No. It's just, I'm so sick and tired of all these people who are all like, I got my account hacked, and it's just, account security these days, like Blizzard is doing everything that they possibly can to help people with account security. Like there is no good reason anymore to get your account hacked.
Okay.
You know, it's just, there isn't. It's completely stupid when some people do. Like I can understand, you know, maybe not wanting to get, pay the like $4 for the actual hardware authenticator. But, you know, I'll see people on the forums who are all like, I don't have an authenticator, but I have an iPod Touch. If you have an iPod Touch, you have no excuse not to have an authenticator.
And does it just give you a random code to log in with?
Yeah, it's like one of those, the actual hardware one, it's like one of those, like, key generators USB, that banks use to, like, make sure that people can log in off-site and it's still encrypted and all that stuff.
Right.
It's essentially that. Yeah, it has like one of those crazy algorithms and blah, 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 blah. And then the iPhone and Android ones have run the same thing, but instead of generating a 6-digit code, they do an 8-digit. So.
Well, if I do get back into it, I'll let you know and get some pointers for restarting.
The hell, I'll start a character with you, because why not?
Alright.
There's got to be something out there you haven't maxed out yet.
There's a lot, actually. I only have 3 characters at max level. I only have 4 at 8. And that number only increases by 1 if you lower the level cap to 80. You know? I get so bored with some characters. Because I'm like, you know, as a rogue, it's like I get kind of bored of just being sneaky and stabbing people in the back.
Yeah, I do that enough in my real life. I don't need to do it in a game.
Is that why you weren't here last week? You were pulling some like crazy Ezio Auditore stuff, or
oddly close, but not quite. yeah, that's a story for another day.
You know what? We'll have next week will be episode 37, Adam Story Time.
Oh Lord, we are explicit, right? So that'll work. Okay.
Yeah, just in case. Fuck. There, now we're exposed.
Yeah. Beautiful. You know, I still try and watch my language just because I know somewhere someone will like download this and be like, that's Tom Clancy's kid. And yeah, and they'll be like, oh my God, he swore. Yeah. And I'll be like, seriously, have you not read any of the books where he swears pretty explicitly, frequently?
Art form.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, this has been episode 36, in which Rogue steals man faces instead of mutant powers. I was going to go with chimichangas before, but that one works too.
Man, that's twice in a row that I have... No, it's 3 weeks in a row that I've named the episodes.
Yeah, at least.
That's weird. This is, like, I think it's Adam's turn next week. But, of course, Adam's probably going to be like, episode 37, purple.
What's wrong with purple? Jeez.
You know. It. There's nothing wrong with purple.
Exactly.
I wore a purple shirt to the wedding yesterday, actually.
Donatello wore purple.
He did wear purple.
And he was the smartest of the bunch.
He was.
I was personally a Leonardo guy, but Donatello was also good. At least, you know, I think we can all agree that Raphael was kind of a douche.
Raph was always a douche.
He was, yeah.
Like, I was always Leo and Donatello. They were my two favorites.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the new Ninja Turtles with Jason Biggs. I'm curious to see how that goes.
What?
Yeah. What? They're redoing the Ninja Turtles cartoon. Jason Biggs is one of the voices, and Sean Astin is another one.
If they do Jason Biggs as maybe Donatello or Michelangelo, and then Sean Astin as Donatello or Michelangelo.
Yeah. I see Sean Astin more as Donatello, though, for me personally. And then Jason Biggs is like, I don't know, Michelangelo with a head injury. Like,
oh, you know what? What if they're Bebop and Rocksteady?
You know what? That works, too. Otherwise, it was going to be like, I think Michelangelo gets a little too close to the pizza for my taste.
They will be voicing Raphael is Sean Astin and Leonardo is Jason Biggs.
Seriously?
Okay, that's not watching this. In fact, I might start a Twitter boycott now. No offense to Sean Astin. Love the guy. You know, yeah, I mean, like,
the casting choice is strange.
Yeah, Rudy's one of my favorite sports movies of all time. But
he gave us Rudy and he gave us Samwise. Like,
and the Goonies.
To be fair, when Tom, you linked me to that Green Lantern thing, and I was surprised that Diedrich Bader was a Batman voice and that he was going to be voicing Guy Gardner. I never would have pegged him as a serious voice actor.
Oh, man. His Batman really fit the tone of that show. Because he did Batman for Brave and the Bold, which was very much inspired by, like, that Silver Age, Adam West kind of style of Batman. And he was great in that. I think his Guy Gardner could be awesome. You know? Because he's, you know, let's be honest here. I know you like Guy Gardner, but he kind of is the comic relief of the Green Lanterns.
He's the bro of the Green Lanterns that everyone mocks openly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, that's what he is.
I don't know if you guys have seen this. I'm going to put it in the Skype chat right now, but I want to see this movie so badly.
It's loading. Still loading. Chrome is being slow.
There we go.
Jesus. God, why did you make me look at that?
Because I love sharing, man. I love sharing. But no, I would watch the hell out of that movie. I've been looking at this image for the last few weeks and just cracking up at it every time.
You know what? He just needs the shark repellent, and he'll be good to go.
I kind of want to, like, dress up as Adam West Batman for the midnight release of Dark Knight Rises.
You know, I was talking to Lindsay about that the other day, saying if I ever cosplay as a Batman, I'm going to do Adam West Batman.
You know, I actually just got asked the question of if I could cosplay a character, which would I be? And I was just like, well, I would love to say Batman, but I'm just not that cool. I don't think I'm... But the problem is, I think I'm too cool for Adam West Batman.
Well, I think that's the thing with Adam West Batman. Anyone can do it, just because it's so not cool.
Not cool, but still awesome. Like, I would probably respect the cosplayer as Adam West Batman more than a guy trying to look like Christian Bale at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
Unless his name is Abed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, let's be honest, his Batman is the best.
That's true. Have you watched Community yet, Chris?
No.
God damn it.
I'll get to it one of these days. I'll get to it.
Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, we canceled our Netflix subscription back during the whole six-pack thing.
Well, it's not on Netflix. It is on Hulu, though.
No, we don't have a Hulu subscription either.
No, you can...
I hate the concept of paying for Hulu and then still having ads in it.
Yeah, it is annoying.
I won't... But then again, I pay for an Xbox Live subscription, and I'm paying for ads, and I pay for Comcast, and I'm paying for ads. So.
Yeah, but at least the ads aren't in your game. Unless the developers put them there.
True.
Well, like, it's not like you're like...
Tony Hawk, yeah, and I've seen Monster Energy Soda vending machines.
Is that out yet?
No.
Oh.
Well, remember Tony Hawk Ride was brought to you by Stride Gum. That was ridiculous. So like every loading screen, which were ridiculously long anyway, it was like, Stride Gum. And like it was just ads.
I remember... Skate had that if you did certain in-game achievements, you unlocked the ability to buy, exclusive shoes.
In-game?
No, in real life. Like, you would get a code that you could go to, like, Nike or wherever, and then it would just, like, open up this secret thing on the store. And you could then get, like, these, special edition skate, Nikes or Adidas or what have you.
I honestly don't know if you're trolling me or if
this is legit. Because I remember, because it was back when Gerstmann was still on GameSpot, and I used to listen to the Hotspot podcast, and everyone's just like, oh my god, you're actually wearing them now. And he's like, yep, these are my skate branded Adidas shoes. And he's like, I got them because I did this and could go to the store. And I was just like, I can't believe that they did that. But in a way, that's almost kind of brilliant.
It's clever marketing, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. And the whole idea of, like, do something cool, and you can actually get, like, something that is worth something as opposed to, like, worthless achievement points.
You know, yeah, if I could turn in my trophies or achievements for something physical, even if it was ridiculous, I would kind of like that.
Depending on what it is.
Yeah, it would still just be hilarious because I have so many achievements and trophies and, games that I've done everything in. If it unlocked... like one of those plastic cups or some crap with the plastic straws with my name on it. That'd be awesome. Or if with the Skyrim logo or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd be down.
Speaking of like awesome things, the Steam summer sale is going on, thankfully.
I haven't loaded it up. I don't play enough PC to then feel like wanting to spend money because it's a great deal on something that I don't know when or if I'll play.
Well, they have right now The Witcher 2 Enhanced Edition for $24.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, ooh. And The Witcher 1 Enhanced Edition Director's Cut for $6.
That's a good deal.
I'm
just pissed off because they waited to start this thing until I was out of money. It's like, because the rest of my month now is like my money is for like buying gas and paying bills and eating food. And then they're all like, oh, by the way, here are Steam summer sales. And I'm like, you sons of bitches.
That sucks.
Although
right?
If you're spending money on the Steam summer sale, are you going to ever be leaving the house or remembering to eat most of the time anyway?
Actually, yeah. I'm pretty good about remembering to eat even on crazy gaming benders. Like, even when Cataclysm came out and, like, all of my guild was staying up for 24 hours straight, I, like, played for a few hours, ate some ramen, and said, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna sleep.
Hmm.
You know, game will still be here tomorrow, I'll still hit level 85 just as fast as everyone else.
You know, what we do in this kind of situation, We're saving up for Black Friday. We're putting money aside ahead of it because we know that we want a third and or a fourth TV for the house.
Wow.
So we're saving the money for it.
My money is being saved so I can fly to Toronto and go play Splinter Cell.
Oh, that's true. Hey, yeah. Let me know when you're going down to Orange County. If you guys are going to be there for longer than a few hours, then maybe we'll road trip down or something.
Let me look at the calendar really fast because they already have the date and all that, so I just have to scroll ahead until March. But I really think we're literally going to be coming down on like a Saturday and then leaving. It's a Sunday like afternoon wedding, so like we'll probably be coming in like Saturday night and then leaving Sunday night.
So in and out.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
So just because, you know, I mean, it's California and we both like will likely have things to do.
True.
Especially because like Misty is, you know, important and has stuff to do as opposed to me, who is unimportant.
And just hangs around all day playing games.
Sometimes I play games. Sometimes I will literally like just sit in my chair and just wish I had something to do, even though I have plenty of things I could be doing, but I'm just so bored that I don't do anything.
You can't get the energy up to do any of those things.
And it's just like, it's so easy. All I'd have to do is like click one thing and I could be playing Doom or who knows. And I'm just like, I can't do it.
I hate that feeling.
You know how it is.
Oh, I know exactly how it is. Lindsay's had a case of that for the last couple of weeks. Where it's just, oh, I could play this, I could play that, I could play this, I could play that, but I'm on the couch, the games are over there, fuck it.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, anything else this week?
Don't think so. Adam?
No, I can't think of anything.
Still alive over there?
I'm good, yeah, absolutely.
Just, okay.
All right.
If I had your number, I would just I would text you various YouTube videos of covers of Still Alive all the time.
Chris, like, don't give him my number.
You this?
See, I don't know if that's a threat or if that's a value add right there. Because
and I'm not sure quite how to take that. Because on the one hand,
I think
yeah,
it's
you're
a
being
value add. Because I'm just being concerned. You know.
It's true, and it's a great song. Yeah, don't get never get sick of it. So,
I don't know. You obviously haven't had me link every version of it to you ever.
Are there that many versions that you?
Yes, there are even some with one of the children's choirs from Racine, Wisconsin, doing it.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am serious. Let me find that right now.
That's kind of amazing.
All right, so Tom, Adam's number is.
We'll put it on the podcast. We'll find out how many listeners we have that are really creepy.
Right. Probably all of them.
Yeah, what, like all six of them?
Yeah, everyone's got a little creepy in them.
I can handle six random text messages.
That's if they stop.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. God, where is this? I found it, like, we found it last year. And, like, because Misty's, you know, Misty's family is, here it is, found it. It's the Gifford Children's Choir from Racine, Wisconsin. So, there you guys go. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
But we probably shouldn't watch a 2-minute video in the podcast, because that would just be very boring for
people. Right. All right, well...
Yeah, let's do this. This would be boring for people, because who cares?
All right, let's see if mine will even play it while I'm listening.
So, all right, you guys. I think we're done.
All right, well, talk to you guys next week.
Enjoy your afternoon.
You too.